on taking care of this cold if you do get this. One, go to the doctor, because this one you're not going to be able to fight on your own in your basement with a case of beer. It is not going to work. Trust me, I know a lot of you are wired like that. This one you're going to need some help with if you get this cold. The other thing I will highly recommend, and I won't get into details because I don't want to gross anybody out, but this is a thing I've been doing. I've been doing it in the morning, at night, before I go to bed. Get in the shower, turn it as hot as you possibly can, and let it run on the back of your head, back of your neck, and then do whatever you need to do to discharge what is stuck in your head. It seems to be working for me. By the way, Happy New Year. I want to do something this week, and I know we do the All Request Fridays on Fridays, and we take your requests, and we play your songs. I want to turn this into a week-long request week, but here's what I want to do, because there's a lot of negative stuff happening in the world that we live in right now, and there's a lot of reasons to sort of focus and get drawn into that. Let's try and be positive. So I am building the Green Zone Positivity playlist. You just heard Whitesnake. Here I go again. Great positive rock and roll tune. If you want to add to the playlist this week, the Green Zone Positivity playlist, I would like to hear from you. You can text those in at any time, 877-332-8255. It's got to be a song that's upbeat, that's got sort of a positive, energetic theme to it. Also, one more thing, quick thing. This is going to be a shorter solo locker show today here on the Green Zone, because we are carrying the bronze medal game. If you missed it, Canada lost in the semis yesterday to Czechia. Czechia definitely outplayed them. So they play for the bronze game instead of the gold medal game, which would have been this evening against Sweden. That'll be Czechia, Sweden at 7:30. The game starts at 3:30 right here on CJME and CKOM. Okay, so also, if you want to text or call and you want to have a conversation about Team Canada, I was pretty impressed with the squad. Not the result we wanted, but I liked a lot of what was happening with this group. 877-332-8255. But now, we always, as always, get things going with the starting lineup. And like I said, Canada will play for bronze at 3:30 today after losing last night to Czechia.
Drops it back to Hage for Parekh. Parekh takes the return pass and fires. Scores! Zane Parekh sneaks it through, and Canada's tied the game at two. Back down the check line. Galvis knocks it down. Kicked ahead by McKenzie. That was broken up by Galvis at center ice. In comes Curran. Max Curran moves it. Feeds it back across. They score! Sets it up inside the line, feeds that down to Reshny, walks right on it, shoots, scores! Oh, Reshny with a power move, and the game is tied at three! And the corner is quenched there by Galvis. And Nestrashil has it back for the Czechs. Nestrashil looks ahead, and a driving kick, in comes Chia, scores! Wojtek Chia sets it home, and the Czechs are back on top, 4-3! Back down to Martone, Hage is the winner. Walks out of the corner, feeds that back to Brunin with a shot, deflected back up on the score! Connor Martone ties the game! Feeds it in for Curran, moving in, Curran with a chance, rebound, loses it, but they score! With 1:14 to go, the Czechs have retaken the lead! In comes Chias, shoots, scores! Wojtek Chias will put away for the Czechs, a 6-4 lead with 25 seconds to go! Canada will face Finland for the bronze! Checks. Once again, take down Canada.
I almost needed that. That was a little bit of therapy for me. Czechia eliminates Canada from the World Junior Championships out of Minnesota, St. Paul, for the third straight year. The only Sasky-born kid on the team, and I said this to Evan, maybe that was the issue. Number 21, Cole Reshny, he had a good game yesterday. He was named player of the game in that loss. Canada gets Finland in the bronze medal game. That starts at 3:30. the first year in 6 years, Canada or the U.S. won't be taking home gold. It's also the first time since 2016 that the gold medal game won't include Canada or the United States. Next year, the tournament is on home soil. Edmonton and Red Deer will be host cities. Britt Dort, who reports for TSN, who is in Minnesota to cover this year's championship, she will join us just after 3 o'clock. So we'll get her thoughts on how they did. Lack of attendance. I think there's a number of reasons why, but we'll get into that with her. Czechia will play Sweden for gold. And again, that game starts at 7:30. And we have huge Riders news. Micah Johnson is retiring, but he's staying with the Riders.
A lot harder for Caleros in the Winnipeg offense now. Noise picks up. Second down and 10 for the 26. Pressure. Micah Johnson has it.
I think this was a great move. He's taking on a role with the Riders as defensive line coach, the veteran defensive lineman and Grey Cup champ, has been in the league for 13 seasons. This was Micah's third stint with Saskatchewan. When we turned to Sasky in 2023, Johnson started his career with the Stamps. He won his first two Grey Cups in Calgary, 2014 and 2018. Johnson was a CFL All-Star five times, a Division All-Star on seven occasions. We'll move over to the NFL and the Wild Card Weekend is set.
The whole world wants it.
All right, the regular season is in the books. Week 18 wrapped up on the weekend. Wild card round is set. So your AFC bye, the winner of the division, the Denver Broncos, the NFC bye, the Seattle Seahawks. You got two games on Saturday. I love these lineups. I am looking forward to football this weekend. We got Rams and Panthers, Packers and Bears. Three games on Sunday. My Bills are in Jacksonville taking on the Jaguars, 49ers, and the Eagles. That's an interesting matchup. The New Patriots are better than New England Patriots. Chargers and Patriots. That's the wrap-up game on Sunday. And then we'll have a Monday nighter as well. We've got the Texans and the Steelers. We will stick with the NFL. It is Black Monday. All right. Just a quick run through here on some of the names. We had Atlanta Falcons getting rid of the coach and the GM, Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot. They both got let go after two very disappointing seasons. The Falcons finished 8-9 after beating the Saints at home in Week 18. Vegas, the Raiders, Pete Carroll was sent home after 1 year in Sin City. The 74-year-old head coach closed out the season 3-14, the worst record in the NFL. Previously, Carroll was in Seattle for 14 years. He had a decent run in Seattle, a span that included 10 playoff appearances and a Super Bowl in 2013. And then the Cleveland Browns, and I'm curious, we've got Britton Gray coming up, and we'll get into this with him, but I'm wondering if his handling of Sanders, the rookie quarterback, is part of the reason why Shadur and him, I don't know if they were on the same page. I don't know if his handling of Shadur was what management above him wanted. So I think that was part of the reason why they let him go. He was with the club for 6 years, which surprised me. I don't know why that seemed so much higher than what it was. The Browns finished the season at 5-12. Stefanski was, like I said, criticized for his handling. But again, I think he succumbed. He put Sanders in there for the last seven games of the season. It's going to be lots of interesting rumors revolving around the firings as of late, and it'll be interesting to see where the chips fall. I was talking to Britton in the Green Zone Lounge, and if you take a look at past years, it's roughly five or six coaches every year around this time or through the course of the season get fired or let go. So it's not an extraordinarily busy Black Friday. Mike McDaniels is keeping his job. The Dolphins head coach is sticking around. That is fantastic to me. We'll move over to the NHL and Matthews breaking a record.
Puck at the line. It does stay in. Some good work by Domi. Now a chance. McMahon, Matthews, and there is 421. And the Maple Leafs have a new all-time goal-scoring leader, and they'll empty the bench to congratulate the captain.
How good is that?
All right, so that was from the overtime loss on Saturday night to the Islanders. Auston Matthews had two goals in the second period. He sets a franchise career record with 421, passing Mats. The franchise Mark Matthews is the first U.S.-born player to lead a Canadian club in career goals, which is interesting. The bigger story, I shouldn't say that. Leaf fans will get upset with me. One of the equal stories that night was Matthew Schaefer's performance. He scored twice. He tied the game up in the third period, and then he got a beautiful OT winner. Up next for the Leafs, they got a tough test. They will host Florida on Tuesday night, and then the Islanders are in New Jersey on Tuesday night as well. And a quick note, this came down about an hour, hour and a half ago. Jets defenseman Logan Stanley got a game after punching Sens Brady Tkachuk. Brady didn't want to go. He's got a problem with his thumb right now. That was Saturday night. Ottawa got the win 4-2 in that game. All right, stick around. Even though we had the break, we still had games on Saturday, which meant we had to continue with Tic Tac 20. We'll find out if we got a winner. That's up next. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together.
The Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows, that definitely works. Monica is adding a tune to the Green Zone Positivity playlist. If you want to add a song, 877-332-8255. We're doing that all this week. I'm doing solo shows. I thought I would try to find a way to be positive. With all the negative news in the world that we live in right now, we need the Green Zone Positivity playlist. And lollipops and sunshine and rainbows is on that list. Thank you, Monica. All right, Tic Tac 20. By the way, I'll say this. You can still sign up for this. You can sign up at any point. We do it the entire season. CJME and CKOM.com. Just find the contest page. It'll take you seconds. We just need a name and a phone number, that kind of a thing. We've given away quite a bit of money so far. Last year, it took us until January to give away our first jackpot, and it was like $1,700. This past weekend, it was $400, and Kelsey Cron was the person that was looking for a goal in the 13 games on Saturday in the first 20 seconds of the NHL game, and that did not happen. So the closest one was Donato from the Chicago Blackhawks at 113. So we bumped that jackpot up and we try again on Friday. Listen for your name if you've already signed up. And if you haven't, do so soon.
He has a seven, living in heaven with my Dixieland delight. Spend my dollar, park in a holler, meet the mountain moonlight.
This is Green Zone, Jamie and Locker. I am hanging out by myself this week. I do have some help from our Riders reporter, Britton Gray. That was, by the way, for Dave, adding to the Green Zone Positivity playlist, a little Alabama this afternoon. I want your requests, 877-332-8255. Britton joining us. Huge news coming down today. And I'm guessing that on some level, a bit of a surprise, no?
A little bit, yeah. Micah Johnson deciding to retire. I mean, it's just he ultimately decided that it was about that time, and an opportunity presented itself for him as well. When you look back, you win the Grey Cup in your final game. You kind of get a go out on that high. And he talked today. He did speak to media today, and he talked about why it was important. He got this opportunity, a beautiful opportunity, he called it, to end things on his own terms.
It's a beautiful opportunity. I see how it doesn't come.
Oh.
It's a beautiful opportunity. I see how it doesn't come because as a competitor, as an athlete, something you've been doing, you just want to keep doing it as long as you can. And I felt that kind of in my spirit, too, just kind of wanted to keep playing, but coaching's always been something, you know, I've been thinking about, and I think that transition is something that, you know, football players, especially a player that's played for as long as I have, it's not something you fear, but it's kind of like something. It's like, man, I'm going to have to stop playing one day. What's that transition going to be like? So for me, I was just blessed to be able to have a smooth transition like this into the next phase of my career.
So you end your season on a Grey Cup win, and then you got to start thinking about what's next. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that he thought about immediately, is it, Britton?
No, I that's why I was a little bit surprised by it. Talking to him at the Grey Cup and ahead of the game, everything indicated he wants to keep playing. He was coming back. He wanted to play for the Riders. He wasn't ready to call it a career. And then ultimately, you know, things change. And he discussed a little bit about when he decided to finally make that decision and say, yeah, I'm done playing, but I want to go into coaching.
It's a beautiful opportunity. I see how it doesn't come because as a competitor, as an athlete, something you've been doing, you just want to keep doing it as long as you can. And I felt that kind of my spirit too, just kind of wanted to keep playing. But coaching's always been something, you know, I've been thinking about, and I think that transition is something that, you know, football players, especially a player that's played for as long as I have, it's not something you fear, but it's kind of like something. It's like, man, I'm gonna have to stop playing one day. What's that transition gonna be like? So for me, I was just blessed to be able to have a smooth transition like this into the next phase of my career.
So Mace was on hand. Coach Mace was on hand to have a discussion about this as well, right?
Yeah, he was absolutely. It's funny when you look at these guys and their the paths they took, right? Because Corey Mace, very similar. He was a player. Next year goes into coaching, and that's always an interesting transition, right? When you go from being a player who sometimes you get together, you know, you complain about the coaches, right? Oh, they ran us too hard. Why could they do that? Da, 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 da. And now you make that transition to becoming the kind of boss in the room, right? You don't have to tell guys they're doing stuff wrong in a certain way. But I mean, Micah Johnson, he's pretty much been a coach on the field. But of course, Corey Mace discussed the transitioning from being a player to being a coach.
Playing as long as Mike has played, and you see his family's here, man, like, he got a lot of responsibility outside of a locker room too. So it's, I think the transition is going to be a little bit easier than it was for me. You know, I was just, I think I was freshly married, maybe. I don't know. I wasn't figuring out anything at that point. But, you know, he's mature. He understands, and I think the guys would respect and will respect you know, his position as a coach, man. But at the end of it, you know, we're having a guy who's chosen to make Regina his home. He's chosen to represent this team, and he's done it at a high level, and he'll be able to continue to do that. And that's huge value for us.
One of the more interesting things about this is that it's surprising that he is retiring, but I don't think if you talk to many Rider fans or anybody involved with this organization on any level, very little surprise revolving around the fact that he is moving from a player to a coach, no?
Yeah, no surprise there that he's doing it. Obviously, he's been here since 2019. He does a lot in the community. He's moved his family here. He lives here full time now with his family. They all live in Regina. He's really made Saskatchewan his home, and just his personality, as I mentioned, he's already a coach pretty much out there on the field, a great guy. It's a sad day for us media types because he's one of our go-to players post game to get thoughts from, because he's always so articulate and kind of knows how to say the feeling, say what went wrong, and always being there, win or lose. That's one of the things with pro athletes. Sometimes guys don't like to be there and talk to the media when they lose a lot. But Micah Johnson was there through the low days. Every day he would talk to us. So it's just that's his personality. Just like every player they brought in, all the coaches, he fits that Corey Mace foundation so well. And, of course, you know, Micah Johnson is thankful to get this opportunity here in Saskatchewan where he has made it his home.
It means everything to me. It means everything to me. You know, when you're around people for years at this point, you hope that you've developed some relationships in the building, you know, that kind of go beyond ball. You hope that people understand your character, understand what you stand for, to be able to give you this opportunity, to even have been able to sit in the room with J.O. and Mace and actually interview. That was amazing. So it's one of those things you hope for. It's just one of those things you hope for.
It sounds like they were planning for this.
I don't know about planning per se, but they did say, Micah Johnson said, he's actually been texting Corey Mace for years now about the next steps. What should I do it? What do I do? Kind of making that transition, how tough it is. It's come up in casual conversation between the two. Of course, the two played together in Calgary before Corey Mace became his defensive line coach. This felt like it was always going to reach this point.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, he was the first 37-year-old defender to be named an All-CFLer. He was still playing at a high level.
Yeah.
Talking to him, it felt like he was coming back to play. So I think it was just an interesting Micah Johnson said it. He starts looking around, and there's a bunch of guys his age in coaching already. There's guys he used to play with who are coaching him now. And he said, it felt like he was putting off the next phase of his life by still kind of chasing the dream,
hanging on to
continuing to play, even though he could still do it. You're I guess losing some years on the coaching side if you continue to kind of push yourself.
That's fair.
And so he made the decision. He wanted to take this next phase of his life, wanted to take the next step in his career because he wanted to be a coach. This opportunity came. Corey Mace gave it to him, and now excited to see what he can do because, depending on who the Riders sign back, that's a very talented defensive line group there, even though he'll be going to the coaching room now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, Brent. Let's talk about how you replace. Now, listen, he's staying in the room, but there is that separation between what happens on the field with the players and what happens, you know, from the coaching staff. So he can be a leader, but he can't be the same kind of leader that he was. So what's harder to replace from a Rider's perspective, from a team perspective, his leadership in the locker room as a player or what he provides on the field?
I'm going to go with what he provides on the field because, as you mentioned, he's still going to be there, and Corey Mace and them have done a really good job of getting the leaders in the room. This makes Mike Rose very interesting now, a guy the Riders, I imagine, will now look to sign a little bit, give a little bit extra money to because they are no longer paying Micah Johnson a player salary, right? So he's such a good defender. Caleb Sanders, the way he came in and how good he was there. It's tough to replace what Micah Johnson has done throughout his career being such a dominant force, but the leadership will still be there. The guys who learned their leadership and kind of learned to be leaders, they played with Micah Johnson. Now they'll play for him. I think you can replace it in that regard. The talent on the field, there's some interesting prospects. I mean, Mike Rose is, yes, if he does re-sign, he is a known commodity around the CFL. We know how good he is, but how does a Caleb Sanders do? And all he saw, that Canadian defensive lineman, do you bring him out there? Who steps up next? Well, we'll have to wait and see who that does.
Is this a position that you have to look outside of the organization to fill, though?
Maybe. It's interesting. You got some more money to use now, right? Like I said, now I think it's very important to sign Mike Rose now that Micah Johnson is deciding to retire.
Yeah.
You keep Mike Rose in as kind of that known commodity, that veteran. You know he can put up all-star numbers. And then you kind of decide, well, where can we find someone to bring in? Or is there already someone here? Because, boy, that defensive line, the prospects they have, of course, Corey Mace is a defensive line coach. They'll find the talent. I have no doubt that he'll be, and whoever they get, they'll be able to coach them up to play at the high level.
It's important, I think, with a player like Micah Johnson, that we focus a little bit of this time that we have talking about his retirement as a player and moving into the next phase of his professional career as a coach here within the Riders organization, about what he brought to this community from a charitable perspective. His name comes up, and it's one of the first names that comes up when you start talking about the Riders Foundation, when you start talking about players that give back in this community, and I'm talking about a Saskatchewan as a whole. I'm guessing that is important to him, and I know that he'll probably continue that role, but did they speak to that, and did that get brought up in that media avail today? What he's done for the community and the charitable side of his career here.
Yeah, Corey Mace mentioned that they're getting a guy who's made Saskatchewan home, a guy who has put extra into the province instead of just going out there and playing for the Riders. As you mentioned, he's everywhere, and that's important to Micah Johnson. Of course, this is where his family's home now, and he had a funny little story about the fact that if it was a couple of years ago, he said, listen, if I'm going to continue playing, he wanted his family here. They were in Florida, so he wanted to say thank you to his family for agreeing to move from Florida to Regina and make that sacrifice for him. And he's repaid this province back, as you mentioned. He does so much, and I'm sure he'll continue to do what he can. But also, it's about getting those guys who will tell the players, it's important to go out and do this. You're not just a football player in Saskatchewan. You are a member of this community.
Make yourself part of the community. We definitely need to talk a little bit. We won't do it too much here, but a little bit about what happened in the wrap-up of the NFL Week 18. But we're sort of ticking off. Like, we got a checklist here, green zone checklist of all the off-season riders stuff. Sam Amulis, just before the break, we obviously took care of Trevor Harris. We were expecting an announcement on Micah Johnson. Obviously, that came down today. AJ Ouellette is still not done. What's going on there? What's your take on, can we say feet dragging, or is that too much?
I'm not going to say feet dragging. I mean, the salary cap and what you're going to pay guys, they all want raises after winning a championship. And
okay,
I mean, Jamie's mentioned it before. It's kind of that weird, and the NFL always gets mentioned, running back position.
Yeah,
you feel like you can go find a running back. I love what AJ Ouellette brings to this community. I love what the personality he brings to that team. Absolutely, but where does the money get spent? What does he need? And he even spoke about it. Every year as a running back, you kind of have to decide, well, do I want to keep playing, right? That's a physical position as well. I do believe they will eventually reach an agreement with him, but if they don't, it's that running back position. It's always a weird one when you look at some of the other guys who haven't been signed yet, a Keyshawn Johnson, a wide receiver,
yeah,
or A.J. Allen, a Canadian linebacker who can be a ratio breaker, Tavon Campbell. There's a lot of big names. There's a lot of time left before free agency.
Yeah.
But
when is free agency?
The negotiation window opens up February 1st or 2nd,
okay,
early February, then.
So we got
around
a month.
Then.
We got about a month. Okay.
They could start announcing things two at a time if they want.
Yeah.
But for right now, it's just wait and see. Jeremy O'Day has earned the trust that he's going to put together a good team once again here.
When you start talking about salary cap and things like that, how much room do they have creatively to massage things, right? I mean, everybody knows that a lot of these deals get done, you know, creatively. All of a sudden, he's driving a new car. I'm not suggesting that's going to happen here in Saskatchewan, but I'm just saying, is there room to make those kind of moves, bonus structures, that kind of thing, for a guy like AJ that might not get the dollars just based on the names you're talking about?
I mean, if you don't care about losing draft picks, you can spend whatever you want in the CFL locker. You can you can find a way to, the BC Lions have proven, you can find a way to sign anyone you want if you're willing to lose some draft picks. And I mean, the sponsorship money, that's a new thing that's kind of come up. You can give players a little extra cash to do the community engagements.
Free subs they find for a ways. Year, AJ.
Yeah. They find ways to get deals done, as you mentioned.
Okay, quickly. We don't have a lot of time. Wild card round is set for the weekend. We got some interesting matchups. Which is the most intriguing matchup in your opinion? We got two games on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and then we got the Monday Nighter Texans Steelers. What do you like the best? You like the Rams, Panthers, Packers, Bears? You like Bills, Jaguars, 49ers, Eagles, Chargers, Patriots?
How can it not be Bears, Packers?
I know! I love that. That's
rivalry, the fact that they get to write a chapter of that historic rivalry in the playoffs, and it's in Chicago, the Bears were the team that was finally above in the standings there. Can't wait for that one. That's the easy one. 49ers, Eagles, they have met in the playoffs a lot recently.
Yeah.
That one has a little extra juice to it as well.
That's got some juice, yeah. The Patriots are back, so New England fans, be happy. It's going to be a great weekend of football. Britton Gray, our Green Zone Riders reporter, thank you for your time. If you missed it, Micah Johnson is retiring, but he's staying with the team. He is joining the coaching staff. And this day in sports history, a bad day for Leaf fans. Is it always a bad day for Leaf fans? Not the best tease, but we'll get into that next. 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Bridge Farm remembers.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Here comes Bailey. He's got it. 9-8-4, a world record for Donovan Bailey in the gold medal.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
But you better promise me I'll be back in time.
The Stan Sports History, January 5th, 1982. Sittler leaves the Toronto Maple Leafs.
In the Darryl Sittler. Sittler first.
Has 10 points. That's a new record. As long as he lives, he'll remember this evening. So will all of us doing the game here at Maple Leaf Garden.
10-point game. That was from February 7th, 1976. Had to play that. 6 goals, 4 assists. That's an NHL record that will probably stand forever. He took a leave of absence on this day, 1982. He was in the middle of trying to get out of the Leafs. It wasn't going well, and that was the last the Leafs saw of him 2 weeks later. Sittler was a Flyer. Time now for the 1-minute drill with Britton Gray.